One of the things about special services is that sometimes we end up with some repetition, and if that 1 Corinthians lesson sounded familiar, well, because you heard it last week. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, for heaven's sake, there are some people who have preached from the same text for weeks at a time. I am not one of those people. I either don't have the creativity or the nerve. I'm not sure which, but as I was looking at the texts and as I was looking at what the Presbyterian Church was sort of thinking about when talking about this Presbyterian's sharing, obviously the metaphor is feet. And feet are, it is a metaphor, standing in for the whole body most of the time. You know, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. I think what we're getting at here, and this shouldn't surprise any of you, I don't think, is that the idea is that part of our body that most people aren't terribly concerned about or notice or think looks especially wonderful, even that, if you are bringing good news, everything about you is a beautiful thing. And when we think of the work that the Presbyterian Church does overseas and other and many, many other organizations, what we're reminded of is that these people who have chosen to go to other places to bring good news are going on their feet. And that's why the sermon title is Don't Just Walk on Them. It also comes from some of the allusions that we have in 1 Corinthians in the chapter on gifts, and where Paul has a little bit of fun with, you know, if the whole body was an ear or an eye or whatever the case might be. And the thing that really strikes me in here is that if one part of your body isn't working, then none of you really works as well. And for anybody who has had a foot injury, you will know exactly what that means. Feet are important. We probably don't take good enough care of them, because when you think about it, these parts of our body are what sort of is the first contact between us and gravity. And as we often hear, gravity is a harsh is a harsh master or mistress, as the case might be. And our feet take an awful lot of pressure. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's not just your weight, it's your weight times the speed with which it hits its momentum. And so our feet absorb a great deal, and they do it for our entire lives. And so if we're going to sort of look at feet as a metaphor for the larger picture, I think it behooves us to remember that in the same way that we at least try to get shoes that fit. I have never yet met a podiatrist or someone who works, or for that matter, even somebody who works with runners or something, who doesn't have a built-in rant about people who don't wear shoes that fit and don't take care of their feet. And they're not talking about, you know, some kind of extensive special regimen of, I don't know, supplements and massage or something. They're saying, look, get shoes that fit. And fit for what you want to do. I remember talking to someone who fit running shoes for a living. They're one of those people that you go into the store and they say you're looking for some shoes. You say, okay, take off your shoes. And you take off your shoes. Says, and I'll walk down there. What? Just walk. Walk. Now come back. Okay, now walk a little faster and come back. Okay, this is the kind of shoe you need. You go, what? Their shoes. No. For someone who knows, they can tell you've got pronation. That's how your ankles turn and all of those things. And so they can come up with a shoe that fits you. And you'll wonder how you ever survived without them once you finally get it done. And as I was thinking about that, as I was thinking about how shoes can make all the difference, I thought, maybe we're not stretching the metaphor completely out of shape to say that the gifts that we get fit us just as well. And the thing is, often we don't know what gift we have, or we don't know what gift even to ask for. I mean, Paul says, you know, look for the larger gifts, but don't forget love is the one that matters more than anything else, fitting in very nicely with Jesus, who says the two most important things are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it appears that that's sort of what holds everything together, and we've talked about that many times. But if proper shoes can make that much of a difference, if a proper fit can make that much of a difference, how much more so is the proper fit for what it is that we are called to do? We sometimes go a little overboard. And of course, we look to Peter for going overboard, because he does. But Peter and Nathaniel, and a couple others in the Gospels, are the ones who say what everybody else is thinking. And we really need people like that. I'm one of those people who doesn't like to sort of spout out things that I think everybody else is thinking, because I just think everybody else is thinking, so everybody knows. And then somebody says what I'm thinking, and everybody goes, oh, what a great insight. And I realize that maybe there is a bit more to it than just what I think. And Peter is saying, well, if it's going to wash my feet, well, wash all of me. And Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. If you're clean and you're wearing, obviously, sandals and walking in a dusty street, all you really need are your feet washed, and you're okay already. To continue to reshape the metaphor, Peter, you're in. You're one of mine. All we need to do is wash your feet, and it's a thing. It's just a small thing. And all of us have small things that we need to deal with now and then. And whether it's bad attitude about a person, or it's a whatever it might be, Jesus says, well, we'll take care of that. That's all we have to do. You don't have to start from the beginning. You don't have to become, you don't have to start from scratch, because that's not where you are. You're just at this point. You're perfectly clean, but you've been walking in a dusty street. You've been walking in the dusty street of exaggerating your goodness. And it's time to wash that off. Sorry, I could not resist. As I was saying that, I had a picture of a minister who used to have those things all the time. Oh, they work much better for him than they do for me. But still, Peter was okay. Peter was part of the group. We are all part of the group. We are all part of this gifted group that we have, but we might not know exactly what gifts we have. But we need your gifts. And I've said this often to this community of faith and to others, that we need every gift, because without it, we're missing something. And when we go back to this metaphor of feet, I have never broken any of my toes, I'm happy to say. I thought I did a couple of times. As somebody said, furniture gets out of your way when you're wearing stout boots. But at night, when there's no lights and you're wearing soft slippers, it gets in your way on purpose. That was Jerome K. Jerome writing at the turn of last century. I don't think it actually moves around, but it sure feels like it sometimes. And I've had a couple of times where I've actually gone to a walk-in clinic and said, did I break this? And I said, no. Sorry, you don't even get the joy of saying you broke something. You just really hurt yourself. That was all I thought about for many hours. And for many days, even, like I'm thinking of the one time, it was with the smallest toe on my right foot that I happened to collide with the bottom of a stair when I was going upstairs. And it was days before I wasn't aware of that every time I took a step. I was aware that something wasn't quite right. I wasn't playing on any athletic teams at that point, but I don't think I could have. And if I would have, I would have been at a significant deficit compared to usual. And so if the body of Christ, if the community of faith, all of us in this room joining us online, the people who are unable to be with us today, if together we make up this body, to use it as a metaphor, when part of the body isn't doing what it needs to do, all of us suffer. And it's hardly ever because that part of the body said, well, I just don't feel like doing things. One of the things that is occasionally mistaken about spiritual gifts is this idea that they're sort of magical. And so they work or they don't work, and it's got nothing to do with you. And if you're having a bad day, it doesn't matter. It'll work just as well. And that's not the case. Spiritual gifts are given to you just about always as part of who you are. Like, very seldom does someone tell you they think their spiritual gift is whatever it is, and you look at them and go, you've got to be joking. Yeah, no. Spiritual gifts come from who we are. God takes our interests and our desires and our talents and our experience and all that and makes it even more so. And people don't just stop doing that. No, something's amiss. When someone who is known for being an encouraging person, you know those people that you just feel better when you're around them. And if you're with them and you're not feeling better, there's probably something going on with them that you might even be able to help with. And instead of just saying, well, I guess they don't care, or they turned off their encouragement today, instead think of it as, to use your own personal metaphor, well, Bill, you fell and injured yourself. A few years ago, as you may recall, I managed to slip on the ice, and to avoid squashing my dog flat, I broke a rib instead. I couldn't sing as well. I didn't dare sneeze. I really prayed against the hiccups. All of those things. So I couldn't do those things that I did ordinarily. It wasn't that I chose not to. It was that something had happened. And so if we take seriously the metaphor of the body, and as we think of missions, and we take seriously this idea of the beauty of sort of one of the generally not particularly attractive parts of ourselves, our feet, the beauty of those who are willing to go, who are willing to leave behind the things that make us comfortable and go somewhere else to do their very best to understand that culture from the inside out. I'm not talking about the white man's burden. You know, going there to dispense, to pour our goodness into their void. You know, I'm not talking about that. That doesn't happen anymore. I'm talking about people who go to other places that desperately need assistance, either physical or emotional or spiritual or whatever it is, and they go there, they leave the comforts of home and go somewhere else, and it becomes home for them because they become part of that culture, they become part of that group so that they can speak meaningfully to that group, not just from above, but from within. Those people need our prayers and our support, which our support is financial, and I'm not afraid to say that. There are some, you know, they tell you never talk about religion or money. And I just think, well, I've already done one. I may as well do the other. We support these people who go overseas and do the things that we can't do. I can't go overseas and do that. I have reached an age where it'd be very difficult for me to learn a new language. I have a body that doesn't really stand up to the things it did 40 years ago. So what do? I support people who can go through prayer, through giving, through encouragement as I can, those missionaries that I know or those relief and development workers that I know. I send, you know, we communicate through emails or whatever else it is, trying to bring encouragement to them. And that's because that's their role. That's their part of the body. And sometimes, just like we sometimes forget our feet until they really give us trouble, sometimes we forget about them over there. And I'm not saying any of us do, but it can happen. I know I can get so wrapped up in what I'm doing and what our congregation is doing and the stuff that's right here that I can't ignore, that I sometimes forget some of those other things. And so I'm glad the Presbyterian Church sets aside a Sunday every year to say, let's not forget that through a variety of groups, through the Canadian Food Grains Bank, through other relief and development groups, through faith-based missions, and everything in between. We support people who are going to another part of the world, not to make it like us, but to make it like itself, only better. If there's been a wonderful change in missiology over my lifetime, it's the understanding that trying to make another culture like our culture is not a good idea, is really destructive and pointless. But to go there and to say, teach me what you know so I can teach you what I know, but in a way that makes sense to you, is why overseas ministry is a long-term thing. It takes a long while to learn, to earn that trust and to learn that culture. And so we are here today to celebrate those who went and those who support those who went. So all of us, if we are a body, if we use the metaphor as a body to say that we are connected, then it helps us remember that those who are engaged in relief and development work all across the world, those who are working toward for justice and redemptive justice, reconciliation here in Canada or wherever it might be, those people are all part of us, and we're part of them. They're doing the work that we can't do, so our response is to do what we can. For some, it's the giving of finances. Not everybody can do that. But we can all pray. We can all encourage these people when we do encounter them, when they show up at our congregation, as they do every once in a while, as we interact with them online. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I remember the first time I heard that as a sort of non-child, and I just thought, I didn't quite think, ooh, but I thought, that's weird. How beautiful are the feet? Well, it's not about feet. And it's not just about walking on our feet. It's about the whole body. But we don't get anywhere unless we move to get there. And the beauty comes from the desire to go or to stay, to do what it is we are called to do. Because once again, when we do that, we become more and more the people God created us to be. We become more and more like Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith that we believe. It doesn't mean we have to pull up stakes and go. Some people, yes. Most of us, no. But it means we have a part to play. And that part involves whatever it is we are called to do, to pray, to give, to encourage, but above all, to be aware. Amen.